Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, Curing Depression and Anxiety, Suppressed Solutions Revealed. In 60 years, not a single study has proven that depression, or anxiety for that matter, is caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain. In fact, there has never been a human study proving that low serotonin levels actually cause depression. Simply put, the serotonin theory of depression is a myth, according to Dr. Kelly Brogan, board certified in psychiatry and integrative holistic medicine. Today, on the Natural Health 365 podcast, you'll discover many of the greatest myths surrounding depression and anxiety, why antidepressants actually threaten your life and those around you, and more importantly, how to completely eliminate the pain of depression naturally without a single prescription drug. Get ready, because the information you're about to hear has been systematically suppressed by the mainstream media and conventional medicine for too long and will truly transform your life for the better. And before we meet our guest, I just want to add one more thing. If you're dealing with depression or anxiety, I get it. It's terrible, and I'm doing this program because you're going to discover solutions. There is an answer for you. Nothing I said is hype at all. Another thing that's great is if you feel like someone out there just doesn't even have the energy to listen to this program because they're suffering so much, then I would suggest either way, get Dr. Brogan's book, which will be available here on this page for the Natural Health 365 podcast. You'll have a special link. It'll take you to a page where you can get a free chapter. But even without the free chapter, please get the book because it's so important. And I'll tell you the third thing that I think is really important. Not only are you helping yourself or someone that you love, but you're also showing the mainstream media that this information cannot be suppressed any longer. The more we buy the book, the more we get it out to more people, the more they cannot ignore that their grassroots efforts are really working, that people are waking up and they're realizing they're tired of the old message that a pill for every ill, and the answer is in this book, especially if you're dealing with depression or any kind of anxiety. Before we meet our special guest, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now, please join me in welcoming Dr. Kelly Brogan to our show. Dr. Brogan, welcome.
Such a pleasure to be here. I love that introduction. Thank you so much.
I know. I worked on it all night. I haven't slept at all. And so here I am. But no, seriously, we are dealing with a serious topic. And this is really important that we get this information out. I want people to relax about this, not be overwhelmed. The solutions are here. This is completely grounded in the medical literature and scientific evidence. You're a medical doctor, board certified. You dedicate your life to this. This is no joke. But I've got to ask you, Dr. Brogan, why did you write this book, A Mind of Your Own, and why is it being blacklisted by major media outlets?
So I, as you mentioned, am a conventionally trained doctor. I didn't grow up as a hippie, you know, not a New Ager. I was an absolutely dyed-in-the-wool psychiatrist. And it wasn't until I actually had my own health journey, right, which is a very common experience for those of us who depart from the conventional fold, that I began to learn that there was a bit more to the story. So I was able to put into remission an autoimmune condition, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, that I developed after my first pregnancy. And I was able to do that through lifestyle interventions, you know, diet, exercise, meditation, all of these things that I had completely neglected my entire life while I was, you know, eating McDonald's and Snickers and staying up all night. This very fact, in my experience, opened me up to a lot of questions. You know, why wasn't I ever told about the relevance of these, you know, interventions? Why was I told that actually this is a chronic disorder that I'd need to manage with a prescription for the rest of my life? So at that time, there was also, you know, sort of a confluence of influences, as happens whenever we're ready for a big change in our lives, right? And somebody gave me a book, and she sort of said, you know, what do you think of this? And it was called Anatomy of an Epidemic. Dynamic by an investigative journalist, Robert Whitaker. And essentially what, you know, he suggests in this book through the analysis of really unpopular medical literature, right? I had never heard of a single one of these non-industry funded studies. What he suggests is that psychiatric medications may be a big part of the problem of mental illness today, right? Because we have depression as the number one cause of disability worldwide, but we also have more people taking antidepressants than ever before. So why aren't those things inversely correlated, right, where there's more treatment and less disability? So that sort of began my journey into the deep crevices of the medical literature and exploring the sort of untold story of the real risk, the amplification of benefits, and the suppression of alternatives. So I began to use this knowledge and experience in my own practice, and I began to see that once I stopped prescribing, I began to see results that I never even thought possible, sometimes within 1 or 2 months of working with a patient. And I developed such a passion for this, and it just began to feel like awakening to the truth that was always there beneath my nose, you know? And I became so passionate about it that I felt strongly that this information needed to be presented to a much broader audience than the women who came to my Madison Avenue practice, right? And so that's essentially what this book is intended to be. It's intended to be, you know, just sort of a menu of tools for transformation, but also a presentation of data around, you know, sort of the risks and an interpretation of the studies that suggest benefit that I don't think people are being told about when they are first offered a prescription. You know, the problem is that I don't just take on antidepressants. I take on really pharmaceutical products on the whole because I think that they represent a model of health, if you could even call it that, that I think we're ready to sort of begin to look at more closely and critically. Because people are really sick in ways that they have never before been sick before in the history of humanity. And I think people are starting to feel sort of a bankruptcy, you know, of this model. They have 5, 6, 7 specialists they go to. You know, 50% of Americans are taking 5 or more medications. And the vast majority of people are not feeling vital and well, despite all of that. So I think there's a readiness for this information, and I think people deserve to have it so that they can make informed choices. And if then they choose to take, you know, prescription medication, then that's what resonates with them, and I bless them, right? But if we don't have the full picture, I think it's actually reckless. You know, so what's happened in terms of the mainstream media representation or sort of opportunity around speaking to this point has been very interesting because, you know, of course, I'm aware that mainstream media is sponsored by the pharmaceutical industry. You know, you can't watch more than 10 minutes of a major network without seeing a pharmaceutical commercial. So it would be, you know, obviously difficult for them to allow me to speak my mind about what I've learned without threatening that sponsorship. And that's pretty much what we've experienced, much to my publisher's dismay, you know, having put a lot into this book and a lot financially behind it. You know, they weren't able to book a single minute of airtime for me. And in fact, we were even told by one network that if they were to do anything with the book, it would be negative press. So, you know, this, of course, it's just the nature of the business. You know, as soon as we acknowledge that the pharmaceutical companies are not here for our wellness, you know, it's a business and they are responsible to their shareholders. I don't take it personally, but the beauty of all of this is the real grassroots energy that's come up around exactly what you were saying, Jonathan, which is that this is an opportunity to show that we deserve a broader perspective on the truth so that we can make our own decisions. And there's been an incredible upsurge of, you know, sort of energy around this message. So it actually has been really quite a beautiful.
Dr. Brogan, I just see this as a great opportunity, again, like I said before, for people to help themselves by buying your book, but also just giving it out as a gift, because this is where the power lies. Obviously, Big Pharma doesn't want any of this to get out. The mainstream media is not interested in this as well because they're funded by Big Pharma. But the bottom line is they don't want people to understand how powerful it really is for somebody to make their own decision. Getting a book like this, learning on their own, experiencing on their own, losing that dependency on Big Pharma. Wow, God forbid. That is a very powerful thing, and each and every one of us can do that, especially when we're suffering with any kind of illness at all. This should be priority 1 for anybody. Dr. Brogan, I want to shift gears a little bit now to a mutual friend of ours. I mean, I get sad every time I think about this a little too much, about Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez not being here. For years, for those people who don't know his story with me and Natural Health 365, Dr. Gonzalez gave of his time and his energy. I don't know any other way to put it, but just without expecting a single thing. And what amazed me the most was how much he gave, even after spending, and I know for a fact, hours and hours, very long days, talking to me at night, meeting me on the weekend in his office in a city. I get goosebumps just telling you this story, Dr. Brogan, because this man gave and gave like a machine. I never knew where he got all the energy, where people with a quarter of the energy spent out would say things to me like, oh, I don't know, Jonathan, maybe we'll get together next month. Things are a little hectic. You know, I didn't even want to hear it after meeting someone like Dr. Gonzalez and seeing the kind of energy, the love, the compassion, the open-mindedness from a physician, from a medical doctor who's conventionally trained, just blew my mind. I'm so grateful that I knew him for the years that I did. I'd like to ask you, I know you've dedicated this book to Dr. Gonzalez. He's meant a lot to you. Please talk about how he influenced your life.
That's even hard to hear you say that. It's you talk about him. He told me that my only job every day is to love the truth. And that's why you experienced the kind of passion and endless energy that you did from him, was because he was on this planet to represent what, you know, he believed with every cell in his body to be the truth. And beyond that, you know, he was a healer. And, you know, when I first learned about his work, actually through a lecture in New York, I knew the way, you know, in those moments in your life, you touch on, it's almost like time slows down, you know, you touch on something so critically important that it almost becomes an emergency. And that's how I felt. And when I contacted him and asked to, you know, come under his wing, he was completely open arms about it. And so I spent 7 months, you know, working with him in his practice, trying to learn everything I possibly could from him, which was like drinking from a fire hose, because the man, you know, didn't have a human catalog of information in his brain. I mean, it was otherworldly, you know, what he, well, I'm sure you know, what he had access to in terms of his brilliance. So, you know, on a concrete level, I had been working with patients through dietary approaches, and, you know, I treat in my practice, obviously, you know, women who experience primarily what they're describing as psychiatric, but of course, most of them also come in with autoimmune diseases and digestive, you know, issues and pain syndromes, and so all of this comes under the umbrella of what I do. And I've been working around a very specific template of a diet that's in the book, which is a red meat, you know, containing diet that actually has a focus on natural fats. And I just was so shocked at how effective it was, because I had followed the work of Weston A. Price, and I knew that there couldn't possibly be one diet for all of these women. You know, there's not one diet for everyone. I sort of always intuitively knew that and questioned it. And when I learned about his work, which of course focuses on 10 different diets, and, you know, what he documented for you and for your site is one of the most beautiful compendiums of his knowledge, I think, on the internet today, which is that 8-part series he wrote on the ketogenic diet. But in there, he talks about his entire philosophy, that it was very much influenced by Weston Price. And this is the idea that depending on our ancestral, you know, evolutionary origins, we are best suited to consume specific types of diets, and there are 10 that he used in clinical practice, and they range from vegetarian, plant-based diets to, you know, red meat, fatty red meat 3 times a day. And this reflects, you know, the many different types of cultural traditions, from, you know, the Eskimos to the Amazonians, whose dietary intake complemented their nervous system, and a nervous system that developed to exist in a certain climate with a certain type of environmental experience. exposures. So he helped me to understand that my patients are a certain cohort of what he referred to as parasympathetic dominance. And that's why, you know, they have these specific traits that they do often, you know, that they are prone to waking, that they are often night people, for example, that they're often creative, you know. I have very, very many sort of like creative artistic types in my practice, that these patients are prone to autoimmunity and hypothyroidism. And of course that they're prone to depression, and then by extension in his model that they're prone to certain types of cancers like liquid tumors, et cetera, if they are eating the wrong diet. So these are the patients who, if they go on a vegan diet, they may feel well for a month or two, and then it's just, you know, the sky falls. And I can't tell you how many patients come to me having dabbled with that. So he really helped me to understand that. But, you know, something he also helped me to understand that has really deeply influenced, I mean, I could go on for hours talking about how much he's influenced my life, but one thing he did help me to understand was how important a shared belief system is. Between doctor and patient, right? And so that's very much what I think is critical about this approach, is that it represents a very different mindset. And you need to feel into whether it, even on one cell in your body, you know, it feels true, which is that the body has a native intelligence that we have not yet fully comprehended, let alone mastered, let alone like have the ability to dominate with man-made chemicals. And that, you know, seeking to sort of lord over the body or suppress these symptoms is only going to further complicate the experience, you know, of illness. And so if you believe that, rather than that, the body is fundamentally broken, it needs to be managed, and that a relationship to, you know, chemicals is a necessary part of functioning in this world, you know, these are two very different mindsets. So sharing that mindset with a patient or somebody who's interested in this approach is very critical to its success, because you're essentially, you know, telling yourself something very powerful when you try to experiment, you know, even for a month with these principles. You're telling yourself, it's okay. You know, you can do this. If you just get out of your own way, it's going to be okay. And so you're shedding a kind of fear. You know, I think when patients came to his office, they left their fear at the door, you know, and they put their trust in him. And look what he did. I mean, this man literally had cases, as you well know, that have never before been replicated in medical history of, you know, putting into remission terminal cancers for not like 6 months or 18 months, for decades. And I can't speak at a conference without somebody coming up to me teary-eyed, talking about how they wouldn't be alive if it weren't for him. And not only alive, but vital in a way, you know, that they never were even before their diagnosis. So I can't sing his praises enough. And I am so honored and privileged to have had the experience that I did with him, you know, because I was the only one who had that privilege. And it was, you know, certainly cut way too short, of course.
Without a doubt. Dr. Brogan, it's so refreshing to spend time with a medical doctor like you, though. I know Dr. Gonzalez is listening to this program right now. I can feel it. He was such a strong influence in our lives here at Natural Health 365. The amount of information that he gave to us was just incredible. His spirit, his energy, and his philosophy, his attitude towards taking care of people. If you know somebody who's suffering with depression or anxiety, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to fire any doctor that is just looking to give you a pill and check you out, give you a little pat on the back and say, you know, everything will be all right. You know what? You need more than that. Sensitive people out there need to get stronger. They need to get tougher, and I mean in the best way possible. They need to get healthier. They need to remove those toxins that are stressing the heck out of their life. And if you don't have a partner, somebody in your home for that matter, friends around you, or a healthcare provider to help guide you through this, it's going to be next to impossible to heal. So that's why I urge people to get this book, A Mind of Your Own, by Dr. Kelly Brogan. I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. I know that I usually keep these Natural Health 365 podcasts around 30 minutes, but I can tell already that the information we're about to discuss is going to take us over 30. I want you to download this podcast. I want you to spend time with us because it's going to be worth every minute to you, I assure you. And if you can send it to somebody else, our social sharing makes it really easy. Please do it because we want to do everything we can together as a very powerful health conscious group to wake people up. There is another way of living and it really is worth the effort. That's my point. Dr. Brogan, as I said at the beginning, you talk about the serotonin theory as a complete myth. Can you please explain that?
Yeah, so not only are physicians taught this in their training, psychiatrists, but the average layperson walks around the earth with this notion that psychiatric disorders and specifically depression and anxiety are something that we understand biochemically and that actually it's a likely to be a serotonin imbalance. So where did we get this idea from, right? We get it from the pharmaceutical advertisers who have the opportunity in this country and one other country in the world, New Zealand, to speak directly to the layperson about their health. It's called direct-to-consumer advertising. And, you know, what is interesting about it is that you don't have to look beyond common sense, really, to see that there's something hollow about this theory, right? Because there are antidepressants, for example, like the antidepressant Stablon, which is understood to be a serotonin reuptake enhancer. But then there's also the Prozacs and Paxils of the world that are understood to be serotonin reuptake inhibitors. There are also antidepressants approved like Wellbutrin that are thought to act on completely different chemicals like dopamine and norepinephrine. And then we can even look to a broader literature that has examined totally non-psychiatric medications like beta blockers and found that they have about the same efficacy rate of about 30% as all of these meds. So all of these meds have about the same rate. And what's interesting is that somebody who investigated why that could be, named Irving Kirsch, who's a psychologist, arguably the placebo effect expert in the world, found that that 30% is essentially diminished to nothing, statistically significant, when you account for what he calls the active placebo effect. So what we're saying is that when these medications do take effect, it's largely because of a set of beliefs about what they can do for you that changes your bodily experience and changes your physiology. And that's not to say that it's all in your head, because people feel very affronted when I suggest that they were fooled or duped, you know, into what they think was an effective treatment. It's a real phenomenon. You know, the placebo effect is extremely powerful and it's very well studied in psychiatry. And, you know, if you look at the literature, it's very hard to argue with. So even in the conventional sort of, you know, the hallowed halls of the National Institute of Mental Health, there is a sort of discussion about the fact that we need to move beyond what's called the monoamine hypothesis or this brain chemical imbalance hypothesis because the literature is not supporting it. And we've been looking everywhere in brain tissue and brain fluid and serum levels and urine levels, and we're just not finding the evidence that depression is a single entity, right, and that it has a clinical correlate at the biochemical level. So, you know, what's sort of taking its place in the literature anyway is something called the cytokine theory of depression, which really reframes it as a lifestyle problem, right? Just like diabetes or heart disease or cancer or autoimmunity, all of these diseases of the modern era that didn't exist nearly to the extent that they do today, if they did at all, even 200 years ago. So depression just sort of joins the ranks, and it essentially is an expression on the part of the body, largely, but of course also the mind and spirit, an expression of imbalance. And the imbalance can be, you know, from a single nutrient deficiency to a food intolerance to a chemical toxicity. You know, it can range from a mismatch with the experience of your life purpose. I mean, it can be a huge range, and it's really just an invitation to sort of look deeper and try to understand this signal and alarm, you know, that is going off in the body, which often manifests on an inflammatory response level, and to work to reverse it, you know, through these very simple but often very complex in their effects. So these top-down things like, you know, simple meditation and breathing, specific types of exercise, and of course the pillar, you know, for both Nick Gonzalez and my practice, which is the nutritional intervention.
Dr. Gonzalez would often say for all the intense cases that he worked with, one of the things he was most sensitive to at the beginning is when somebody walked into the office, if he sensed even for a moment, hey, they're not there for good reasons. In other words, all right, I'll go to the office and see this guy. And of course, he even had a lot of screening before the person would be able to get into the office. But if they got in there and they felt like, you know, I'm just here because somebody else told me I got to go see you, doc, right away he would say, what are you doing it for? Because Dr. Gonzalez would always say, no matter how healthy something is, if you don't believe it, if you don't feel right about it, you shouldn't do it. Dr. Brogan, this is something that brings me to a very important point, and I want to give it as a big warning for all those people out there who are even slightly hesitant about taking those antidepressants because they feel like it's not doing well for them, but they're still following doctor orders. I know that you feel that there is a danger. Sure, maybe not for everybody 100%, but there's a significant danger out there, especially if a person is taking antidepressants for a long period of time. Can you please talk about this?
Yes. So there are a lot of sort of publicized risks. And what led me to put down my prescription pad several years ago was what I began to witness after I read the book Anatomy of an Epidemic. What I began and became totally convinced that I had been fed only a small portion of the medical literature, I began to witness what happens when people come off of antidepressants. And, you know, I had been taught to understand this as a relapse, right? So you decide you want to stop taking your Paxil, you just stop taking it, and all of a sudden, within 3 days to 2 months, you are literally unable to function, right? So we're talking about neurologic symptoms, you know, your immune system flares, you often have psychiatric symptoms you never even had before. It is a catastrophic event for many, many patients, and all you have to do is Google antidepressant withdrawal to get a small window into what a grassroots community has built up around helping each other to come off of these medications. So what I have learned that has been most humbling is that I experienced this, you know, the class of psychotropics, especially when they are taken long-term, like longer than even a couple of months, to be the most habit-forming chemicals on the planet. And I am talking about comparing them to heroin and alcohol and crack cocaine because, you know, for those things, you can go to a rehab for 5 to 30 days and come out and be done with it. With my patients, there are some of them I have to take off of Lexapro, for example, by 1/1000th of a milligram a month so that they can even maintain a level of functioning, you know, to continue with their life. So this is, you know, part of the informed consent process that I feel pretty fired up about because I certainly never had a conversation with patients before I started them on medications when I used to prescribe, you know, wherein I said, the long-term data, you know, there isn't a single study that actually shows that patients do better functionally long-term on medication, but if you were to try to stop this, you may not even be able to come off it. I never said anything like that. And so I think patients aren't being fully informed about the potential for, you know, discontinuation syndrome, as they call it, or really what, you know, withdrawal. So that's why, in the end, you know, the whole point of my mission is around informed consent. It's around a fuller conversation of risks, benefits, and alternatives. And that is embedded in the physician's oath of first, do no harm. And so it seems only ethical to me to begin with an approach that poses no risks, and that, you know, has potential for very high yield and, you know, that is largely available to everyone to do on their own without even initiating a clinical contact. And, you know, what I often say, Jonathan, is that I think we really wish that we had a safe, effective cure, right? So with our patients who are struggling and desperate and even suicidal, we wish that we had that emergency Band-Aid. But the problem is that what does exist is not what we think it is. So it's, you know, it's almost like, you know, if someone's falling off a cliff, it's almost like in many ways like offering them a knife to hold on to or something. Like there's a better, safer way to help patients, even in extreme distress. But it requires, like you said, that shift in mindset, to believe that you actually have everything that it takes to restore a sense of well-being that feels totally unavailable to you when you are struggling, in the depths of this type of experience. But, you know, I've found that patients can recruit that energy. You know, I use the example that it's sort of like if you have the flu, right, and you feel like you can't get out of bed, and then I walk in the room and I tell you just won Powerball, you know, you're gonna feel better for a period of time, even if you felt like you were about to die the minute before I walked in the room. And so I experience that day in and day out with patients who are quite debilitated by their symptoms, that a fire can light up within them when I hold the space of hope based on my past experience with patients and even my own personal health journey, when I hold the space of a different story. Because I think patients don't want their symptoms to just go away. They want a new chapter. You know, they want to begin the next phase of their life, and one that isn't just about, you know, surviving and getting to work. So that's what I hope to present.
We're going to be tackling, as I said to you, we're going to be extending this podcast a little bit more, but I promise you it's going to be worth every minute you spend with us. We're going to be tackling this whole idea of poor genetics, right? You've just got the wrong genes, and that's why you're suffering. We're going to listen to what Dr. Brogan has to say about that. And also, some of the greatest triggers for depression is how we're going to finish this program off. And more importantly, some of the things that we can do so that we can avoid its influence. It's going to be a very important way to finish off this program. But first, I just want to thank our sponsor one last time, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in a delivery system. To learn more, visit liveonlabs.com. That's LIVONLABS.com. So, Dr. Brogan, we get to a really important part of the program, at least as far as I'm concerned. A lot of people are led to believe, not just with depression and anxiety, but so many of the things that they suffer with. Wow, you just, you know, bad run of luck. You know, you got poor genetics and you just got to kind of, you know, suck it up a little bit, be a little tougher, and just kind of learn to deal with it because you were dealt a wrong deck of cards or something. What do you think about this sort of notion that even conventional medicine oftentimes is guilty of pushing on people?
Right. I love this question because it reveals so many truths, right? So when we talk about genetic determinism, it's very convenient for the pharmaceutical industry because what it essentially says is, guess what? Your lifestyle and your environment don't matter at all because you're already stuck in this. So you might as well accept the fact that you need our help managing, you know, this predetermined problem for the rest of your life. But what happened is about 10 years ago when we completed the Human Genome Project, we appreciated, you know, the gross limitations of that thought process, and we began to understand that our genes didn't even explain how we were more complex than a grain of rice, literally. So, you know, this gave birth to a very exciting and promising area of research, which is now called epigenetics, which is this notion that everything you taste, touch, think, all of these daily experiences are influencing your genetic expression. And when it comes to depression, you know, this is an easy one to myth bust because, you know, the truth is that they've been looking for the depression gene for some time now. And, you know, even the most recent meta-analysis by the American Medical Association, you know, 14,000 patients showed that there is no correlation between the serotonin transporter gene, which is what they were looking for, and incidence of depression, that there isn't a genetic underpinning. We haven't found it, and guess what? We're not going to find it because depression is not a disease because, like I said, it's a symptom. And to find a genetic correlate for a symptom, particularly if what I said is accurate, which is that every gene's expression is dependent on environmental interaction, we're not going to get what we're looking for from there. So I think it's almost become a rhetorical tool on the part of industry and the establishment to diminish the importance of lifestyle. It's almost, you know, sort of something that they're holding on to, but the literature certainly doesn't support that notion. And that's true for all psychiatric illnesses, by the way.
In closing, Dr. Brogan, what would you say are the greatest triggers for depression? Because this is really important. And how can we avoid its influence?
So, you know, in the book, I explore something I call the psychiatric pretenders, which are essentially the things I really would love for people to look into and investigate before they even consider a prescription. And these are simple things like, you know, specific nutrient deficiency like B12 deficiency, hypothyroidism. Obviously, I had my own personal experience with hypothyroidism, and I know that the symptoms of hypothyroidism overlap almost completely with the symptoms of depression with some anxiety. Specific food intolerances like wheat or dairy, or even blood sugar imbalances, which you know you have if you're somebody who is hungry all the time and who gets very irritable and even anxious when you can't get to the snack that you're looking for. You know, there are simple signs that these are some of the things you might be dealing with that can lead you to simple diagnostics and sort of march you down the road to remission. You know, if I see a lot of women actually just for wellness consultations, and the recommendations that I make are essentially the same, no matter if you're coming to me wanting to come off of a medication, if you never want to touch a medication in your life, or even if you're happy on your medication but you still have residual symptoms that you'd like to address, the interventions are the same, which is a, you know, compilation of changes that you can make to your daily experience that bring your body into a sense of calm and safety. And what's amazing is how quickly these changes can take hold. I still find it amazing. You know, I'll see patients who are at a one-month follow-up after a consultation, and it's almost, you know, as if we're having a completely different conversation than the initial presentation. So I feel pretty passionately that this is available to just about anyone, this kind of transformation, you know, if they just feel open to it.
Dr. Brogan, I can tell from spending time with you, you are just truly a great doctor. Doctor for me is a teacher. You're fantastic, a breath of fresh air. We need more doctors like you. For those people, again, who feel like they're dealing with depression and anxiety, you can get over it. And I'm not taking it lightly. There are solutions. Please get the book, A Mind of Your Own by Dr. Kelly Brogan. The link is available all over naturalhealth365.com. It'll be on our podcast page here at Natural Health 365 podcast link that you'll find on our site. If you're listening to this program, you know, away from the site, that's great. You've downloaded it. But come back to the site, click the link. It'll take you over to a page for Dr. Brogan where you can get the free chapter. But please get the book and give it away as a gift as well if you feel like someone else really needs this kind of help. Dr. Brogan, I know we went a little long today. I just want to thank you so much for your time. It's so much appreciated.
Total pleasure, Jonathan. Thank you.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.